Romans 16, verses 21 through 24. These are God's words. Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my countrymen, greet you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, my host, and the host of the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the treasurer of the city, greets you, and Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. We've already had Paul's greetings to different ones in the church at Rome and his instruction to them to greet one another, expressing and taking delight not only in one another, but opportunities to reconnect with one another. And we've had this strong final urging to note and avoid those who cause division and those who lead and cause brothers and sisters to fall into sin, to stumble into sin. And this is the original close of the letter in verses 21 through 24. Paul greeting them and ultimately Christ greeting them by his apostle at the end in verse 24. And so Paul having greeted them, it is those who are with Paul, rather, right now, at the close of the letter, whose greetings he sends. First Timothy, and then Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, and then Tertius, and Gaius, and Quartus. And as he sends their greetings, he gives short summaries of their honors. As he sends their greetings, he gives short summaries of their honors, both so that the Roman church may be more encouraged by those who are taking delight in them, and that they may give more honor to their brothers. And so one of the things that we see here especially is that for which we are to honor, receive encouragement about, and esteem more highly our brothers in the faith, our brothers and sisters. Timothy, he calls my fellow worker. Now, Timothy was famous in the churches. Paul identified him as a co-author of six of his letters. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says of Timothy that there is no one else as like-minded as Timothy is. And for all of that, the honor that is by which he commends Timothy to them is that he is his fellow worker. And so labor in the Lord, the ministry of the gospel, is to be highly regarded, highly esteemed, and naming him in this way at the close of the letter may make this actually the seventh letter then, that Paul is giving some measure of acknowledgement to Timothy in participating, although he's not mentioned in the beginning of it. But Timothy, my fellow worker. And so we are to honor those who are, certainly those who are like-minded unto the apostle, those whose minds are according to Scripture, especially the faithful minister, the faithful worker in the gospel. When he greets us, we are to be the more encouraged because he is a faithful worker in the gospel, and we are to esteem him highly for that sake, for that reason. When he says, Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my countrymen, he is not only recognizing the honor of those who have a common ancestry, a common ethnic origin with himself, but in this case, you remember, he was about to leave Corinth, or maybe by the time the letter is written, has just left Corinth and is on his way to Jerusalem, taking an offering from the Macedonian and Achaian churches for the care of the poverty of the Jewish church in Jerusalem. And so when he identifies them as being of common descent, he's probably identifying them not only as to be honored for being natural branches of the tree into which the Gentiles have been grafted, so that there is an honor given to Jewish Christians that he's taught them about earlier in the book, but also recognizing them as some of the men who have been appointed to go with him to carry the gift and give a report that everything was done in order, and maybe give a report of how it was used and so forth. Next, he permits Tertius, who is the secretary or scribe or his administrative assistant, as it were, to whom Paul has dictated this letter, gives Tertius the opportunity to give his own greeting. As he gives his own greeting, he gets to write one verse of the book of Romans from himself. He demonstrates that he has assimilated some of what the book has taught. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you in the Lord. And so the place that union with Christ has been given throughout the letter, Tertius has understood and is perhaps reinforcing and re-encouraging that to them, but also recognizing that they are in the Lord. And so his delight in them is a delight that is not just in them themselves, but in the Lord who has brought them into union with himself in his death, union with himself in his resurrection, the one by whom they are now walking in newness of life. You know, those things from chapter 6, and we could, the faith that is into Christ, and chapter 3 and 4, and the union with Christ in his sonship, and the love of God that is in Christ, and the no condemnation that is in Christ in chapter 8, and many different things, of course, throughout the whole letter. Tertius takes his opportunity, and he says, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, greet you. And then he adds these three short words, in the Lord. Next, Paul writes to them, or of course by Tertius's hand, Gaius, my host, and of the whole church, greets you. This is probably Gaius Titius Justus, who is hosting Paul during his time in Corinth. And not only was he willing to host Paul, but whenever anyone else had something that they needed to see Paul about, spend some time with him, get training, instruction, counsel, whatever it is, or perhaps someone was visiting Corinth to see Paul from out of town, or perhaps at times the Corinthian church would come and gather at this man's house. He was a man of some means, and Paul is honoring him, not just for his being hospitable to a saint or even to an apostle, but his employing his house in the work of the ministry of the church. That he's not honoring him for being a man of means. He's honoring him for being a man whose means have been devoted unto the Lord. That too should encourage us when such people who have been objects and evidences of such grace give us greetings, and we should esteem them highly for it as well. Erastus, the treasurer of the city. There were different positions in Corinth. There's an inscription that has been discovered in recent archaeology of an Erastus at the same time of the next level up from this. Not just the treasurer of the city, but I forget the full name of the title, but it's like the manager of all the business of the city or something like that. It's just one word in the Greek, but that was the role of the title. Probably the same Erastus, but here is one who his place in Roman government has not kept him from confessing Christ as King, from becoming a Christian and taking his delight in the church. And so those who do not allow their place in the world to inhibit or diminish their devotion to Christ and to his people, they too are to be encouragements to us and highly esteemed. And then Quartus, who is just called a brother. And probably Quartus is part of the traveling party and one who these the largely Gentile churches in Achaia and Macedonia have elected, delegated to go with Paul as a Gentile delegate, Christian. And so there's some ordinary church government, church operation work that is behind here. But Quartus is a brother, and it's implied a brother who has had the esteem of the congregations in Macedonia, or likely Achaia, probably from Corinth, since that's where Paul was when he began writing this letter, and perhaps still is, if they have not left yet. But here, as they are with Paul in his work, as they are with Paul in preparing for the ministry to the Judean saints, so they are with Paul in expressing their delight in the Roman church, so that there is an example here, not only of whom to be encouraged by as they greet us, and what we should esteem in others, as Paul gives us the various things that he commends about them, but also as an example to us to enter into and take opportunities by one another's ministries to other Christians, to other churches. If we hear that someone is going to go to a certain place, or is writing to a certain place, or talk to certain people, that we take opportunity to encourage, piggyback our own encouragement and greeting, etc. Taking every opportunity to increase and improve and enrich the good that is done to believers, to churches, in every way that we can. And of course, from whom, and in the words of Tertius in verse 22, in whom do we do this? Have we learned this? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. The encouragement and esteem in verse 24, of course, is higher than all the rest put together. But it is truly by him, in us, and for his sake, in our brothers, that all of our greetings among one another on the horizontal level, in the horizontal way, are expressed. Here he says, the grace, this is the conclusion of the whole letter now, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And as we have seen throughout, this means not just blessing for those who deserve only curse, certainly means that in the context of the book of Romans, but also you think of places like chapter 6, 7, 8, and on, but especially 6, 7, 8, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, a reminder that Christ's grace to us is also Christ's grace in us, the strength of God the Son in us, who in ourselves have only weakness, just as in ourselves we deserve only curse, in ourselves we have only weakness. But how strengthening and gladdening then this would be to be reminded that there are not just these brothers on earth who are working with Paul and have hosted him in Corinth and accommodated all his ministry while he is there, and are some of whom are now going with him to Jerusalem, and that all of these brothers greet them, but that the reason Paul is writing this particular letter, as we heard at the beginning of the letter, is that he is an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that just as Paul's not now in Rome because he's in Corinth with these other guys, Jesus is not now in Rome because he is sitting on the throne of glory. But he too greets by his apostle. And he doesn't just greet, he doesn't just express delight. By his apostle and by this word of his apostle that he is sending to them, and by his Spirit's use of this word, the Lord Jesus is giving his own gladness and strength to be in them. And that, of course, is the most encouraging thing of all. And this is what he does by preserving for us the book of Romans and causing it to be translated into English and bringing us to himself and bringing us under the ministry of our parents who teach us the word and giving us even the opportunity and ability to have our own copies to read it for ourselves, and especially by sending for us his ministers who read and preach his word in the public worship in which the activity of the Lord Jesus is unique and particular promises are attached to it as he preserves us and preserves for us an unshakable kingdom in the preaching of his word and the public worship and all of these things. And so at the conclusion of the letter, his last word is, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this portion of your word. Thank you for this letter that your Spirit carried Paul along as he wrote by Tertius's hand to the Romans. Thank you for preserving it for us with all of your Holy Scripture. Thank you for this time that you gave us as a household to be in it, as we worship you in your word. We pray, Lord, that you would now apply it to us, that we would be encouraged, gladdened, strengthened, and that we would have our minds more conformed to Christ, that your Spirit would make us those who seek to gladden others and who take encouragement from those by whom you greet us, that you would remind us and teach us and grow us in pursuing that which is honorable, and give us also to honor others. Thank you for how much there is here for us in a short and not at first obvious to our dullness, helpful passage, but indeed it is rich with instruction and help, and we pray that your Spirit would use it that way. Help us as we go from your worship with literally your word being sung and your song on our hearts and on our lips, that we would be helped to be conformed to the mind of Christ in the rest of our labors for this day. We ask these things in his name. Amen.